I interviewed Kirit, and he was supposed to be here, but for personal reasons, he could be. Mr. C.B. Patel is here somewhere. Mr. Patel, you were looking at the photo. Here, the photographer, he is from the same town as the Kirit, the story I'm reading he is from. So I'm reading as if I'm Kirit. I was born in Soroti, approximately 250 miles from Kampala, and came to this country when I was 17 and a half years old. It was just a normal day until I heard Idi Amin's voice on the radio. And it was, he said, I had a dream that if I expel all Asians, whatever passports they were holding, and take away all their businesses and wealth, Uganda will prosper. Perhaps the date was, it was end of July or early August in 1972. We all panicked, hoping and praying it couldn't be true. There must be someone who could convince him to take his words back, just in case it was impossible to prevent, which country would accept us? This was a very puzzling question in everybody's mind. Nobody in my family had a British passport. My mother had one at the time of marrying my dad, but it had expired since then. We could come to the UK only on our mother's passport, mother's British passport, except for my father, who could end up elsewhere in Europe or become stateless. We were not even sure whether India would accept us, until my mother's British passport was renewed, our fate was uncertain too. We were instructed like this: keep your travel documents ready. Maximum amount allowed was equivalent to £50 per family. Maximum baggage allowance was 20 kg per person. And then switching on to creditors, Asian creditors, greed. Would you believe it? Even in this crisis, creditors would try very hard to recover their debts. Many well-off Asian creditors forced their Asian debtors to part with their monies in lieu to their debts. However, some informers tipped the military to this effect. Consequently, some Asian creditors were shot dead, and jewelry and cash were looted by Ugandan military force. Then his little subtitling, machine gun under my chin. As our luggage allowance was limited, we had one alternative, which was to send other essentials to Kenya by train or other to our relatives. They would no doubt ship those goods, leftover goods, to wherever I would finally settle. In this process, I had to pass through 10 to 12 checkpoints from my home to the railway station in order to ship extra luggage to my relatives in Kenya. We were forced to open in those checkpoints to open our parcels, and the army would help themselves whatever they could lay their hands in. So by the time I would reach the railway station, I practically left nothing. Everywhere it was a very chaotic situation. Shooting, robbery, mugging were happening all over the place. It was simply the law of jungle. Even gods, images and temples were not spared. This Indian embassy was most unhelpful. They wanted proof of Indian connection. How much money have you got in India? We were bombarded with so many useless, worthless questions. It was a complete nightmare to get hold of proper travel documentation. Finally, we obtained the relevant travel documents from the British Embassy in Kampala. My father did not have any travel documents. He was not allowed to leave Uganda with us, leaving his fate in the dark. With a constant, unending flow of tears, we left Kampala to a very uncertain future. Later, my father was allowed to find shelter in Austria, and from there was allowed to join us in the UK. Our first shelter in UK was Uckfield, Sussex, in an empty army camp. I didn't have even 2 pence in my pocket. Thanks to the education authority who provided me, my brother and my two sisters, free education at secondary level. A very, very big thank you to the British government. To cut my whole story short, everyone in my family has become established very successfully in the UK. We shall never, ever forget this government for helping us. Words are simply inadequate to thank the British government enough. Thank you.